warriors. Hey, listeners, I appreciate you so much. Today's Happy Hamstrings is sponsored by Tina Hilbert Consulting. Now, I really want you to know who Tina is. Yogi Tina presently attending a clinical yoga therapy certification program with Michelle Young at the My Vinyasa School. And Michelle Young is also the founder of My Vinyasa Practice. She's E-registered yoga teacher 500. She is a CIAYT therapist, and they're located in Austin. Tina's clinical therapy focus is on behavioral medicine. 200-hour yoga teacher training registered yoga teacher program at Spirit House Yoga in 2015. She attended Kundalini Yoga Teacher Training Level 1, 200 hours, in 2013 at Third Street Yoga. Tina has attended four 10-day Vipassana meditation retreats at locations in California, Florida, and Texas. She has also served at a 10-day Vipassana retreat at the Vipassana Center of Meditation in Texas from 2000 to 2008. Yoga Institute for Teachers 1,000-hour yoga teacher training, the Iyengar Method 500 hours in Nashville, Tennessee. She did 100 hours of Iyengar workshops with senior and junior certified Iyengar teachers in 2008. She did Kashi Ashram yoga teacher training, 200-hour level one teacher training in Atlanta in 2004. She did Thai yoga bodywork training with Saul David Rain in Santa Barbara, California in 2004. She did Bikram's Yoga College at India Teacher Training in Los Angeles, California in fall of 2000. She started becoming a My Vinyasa Mindfulness coach in 2020. At My Vinyasa Practice, which is the school I'm studying at, which is where I met her. She's also listed Usai Reiki Level 3. I hope I pronounced that right. Body Talk Fundamentals 1 and 2, Body Talk System Techniques, and the Mindscape of Body Talk. This is something she's touched on with some sessions that I have studied with her. She talks a lot about this Body Talk Fundamentals. Also, she accesses consciousness BARS technique, B-A-R-S. She's certified raindrop bodywork. Or you can just contact her at Tina Hilbert Consulting. So enjoy this episode. You can hire her when you search for Tina Hilbert Consulting if you want her to be your personal coach. Thank you so much and namaste. Enjoy this episode. Hey, welcome to Happy Hamstrings, everybody. I'm so excited to introduce Tina. I've spent some time with Tina. She's one of my teachers at MVP. Welcome, Tina.
Hello, hello. I'm Shanti. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. And I want you to start by telling them, I've already read your bio, so just tell them a little bit about your beginnings of your yoga journey.
Okay. Well, really, I would say it actually happened by accident. I was in and had had a job. I guess I was going to say I was in a job, had a job in the corporate field. I worked for Cox Communications, and I really never felt like I fit in. I felt like there was something else I could be doing with my life. I wasn't quite for sure what it was. And I was with Cox for about 10 years. So as I got towards that 10-year mark, I really realized that, okay, I need to decide. I need to do something different. This is clearly not working. And I really didn't know what it was. A friend of mine asked, well, what are the two most important things in your life? And I said, well, that would be, for me personally, it would be a deep relationship with God in the track of like spiritualism. And physical fitness, exercise, you know, those are the two things. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I've got those, then I'm well on my way to happyhood, you know, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Town.
Yeah.
So, right? And so for me at that time, I was not practicing yoga. This was about 1998, 99. I was not practicing yoga at that time, but I was spending a lot of time in a gym. So naturally I thought, well, go get your certification to become a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And what happened was, as I, of course, was going to start working for a chain, a gym, you know, chain, because that seemed like the thing to do. And I noticed, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm in personal training, but I'm right back into the corporate mindset. I'm right back into basically what I left. It's just a little something different, but the rules are the same, you know? It's
right, just a shaped in a different box.
Yeah, yeah. And no, that's not to say there's lots of good corporations out there.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't.
Oh, I worked for a big box. I know exactly what you mean.
It's really, really nice. I mean, I had great insurance. I had great 401k. I had good money. I worked with great people.
Mm-hmm.
It was phenomenal. It was very, very good. That's why I was with them for 10 years. It just was, I felt like I had a different calling. That was it. And it needed more room to like spread my wings, I guess. And so at that point in time, I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? I left 10 years of a job. I thought I was going to be a personal trainer. I thought this was it. This isn't working out. And I kind of stumbled around for a bit, and every day right along my route home, so either coming home or going someplace else, I drove past this place called Ashtanga Yoga. Or excuse me, Atlanta Yoga was the name of it. It was Ashtanga Yoga at Atlanta Yoga. And I drove by and I drove by. I finally decided, well, maybe I should try that. Maybe that would be something.
So it was in Atlanta, like Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah, I lived in Atlanta, yeah. Georgia at the time.
Right.
Yeah. And so the funniest thing is I would call and I'd make appointments. Okay, I'm calling in, you know, this is, at that time, funny enough, my name was Tina Hill, not Tina Hilbert. Was my married name. I just dropped an L and added a Bert. But I said, you know, this is Tina Hill, and I'm signing up for the intro-level class at 8 o'clock tonight. And right before the class, probably 15 minutes before the class, or 30 minutes before the class, or some point in time during the day, I would chicken out, I'd call and cancel. I probably did that, and this is not an exaggeration, I did it 8 to maybe 10 times.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did, my friend.
Wow.
I would sign up. I was
the contemplation phase, as you know personal trainers call it.
Right? Yes. I don't know what it was. And then finally get up the nerve, and I think my roommate at the time says, hey, I'll go with you. And I was like, okay. And so then I had an accountability partner, right? That's mm-hmm. what I needed, was an accountability partner.
Awesome.
And I get there, and it's the funniest thing. My teacher, Adele Gell, is there, and I walk in, and I sign in, and she sees my name, and she was like, oh my gosh, you exist. I have been waiting to meet you. I have been cracking up about how you, hi, I'm registering for class. I'm going to be there tonight. Hi, I got to cancel. Hi, I'm registering for class. Hi, I've got to cancel. She's like, you made it. Welcome. The interesting thing about it is that that very first class, I remember the pose we were in. It was Uttanasana. I remember the pose we were in. I remember the smell of the room. I remember not being able to touch my toes, you know. But I also remember thinking, this is it. I found it. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to pursue. This is where I'm supposed to be. And this is
oh,
it.
Man.
This is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
And boy, did you ever find your purpose.
Right? I knew it. And
that's
I
amazing.
Went to those classes. I know. I went to the classes. I was there as much as I could get there. You know, those unlimited passes that a lot of yoga studios do for new students. So I was going to all these classes. And the owner of the studio walked up to me. His name was Tommy Moss. He walked up to me and he said, you know, been watching you, and I have a feeling I'm being led, you know, my heart's telling me to ask you if you would like to be mentored. Would you like to come on? We've never done it before, but would you like to come on staff as one of our mentor teachers, and we'll start training you and, you know, get you to some workshops, and would you like to be a teacher? Is that interested you? And I said, yes, absolutely. I've thought about it every day since the first class. Sign me up. And that's.
Wow. That's so it started in Atlanta.
It started in Atlanta with Ashtanga Yoga.
That's amazing.
With Tommy Moss and Adele Gell. Those were my two first yoga teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they introduced me to David Swenson. And that was the first workshop I ever took, was with David Swenson. And then it was Brian Kest. And, you know, it just went on and on and on from there. But I ended up finding myself at a Bikram yoga training. So you just never know where the journey's going to go.
Yeah. And I know it's not just me. All your story resonates so much with a lot of things that I also struggled with. Like, you know, there's that time in life where it's like, I talked about this the other day, it's like a second adolescence that comes along when you think you're done with puberty. And then you're like, oh, but I'm still learning my path. You know, like you're redirecting your energy at some point. Then all the goals change. It's so weird.
It is interesting. And, you know, I think that's just phases in our life. And I think some people go through them quite early, and they're like, this is what I want to do. I know this is what I want to do. I'm going to set out to do this. And that, and that, they just know it from the get-go. That is just their path. Right.
If I'm going to be Farmer Brown from day one, then I know I'm Farmer Brown forever.
Right. They just know it. Right. And they just pursue it. And that's their deal. I know that whenever I signed on with Cox Communications, I got hired with Cox Communications, I was 19 years old. And what I was looking for was just a good opportunity, you know, and a friend. At that time with Cox, you almost needed somebody to recommend you to get in the door. Like, you needed to be recommended, and then you went through this whole interviewing process, and then it just kind of went from there. They were very much about wanting to know, you know, having good recommendations. And I got in the door, and of course, at 19, you think, wow, I have landed the honeypot. I mean, here they are. They're going to pay for my college. They're going to, I've got vacation pay. I've got sick pay. I'm making a good wage per hour. There's potential to grow in the company. My family is ecstatic and happy because I've got the security job. That says, you can check all the boxes.
Yeah.
You did it. You've arrived. And so there I was thinking, wow, I did this. But the whole, and I enjoyed the job. Don't get me, I was in customer service. They had wonderful customer service. They had a segment of customer service called Focused on Added Value. I am so thankful for Cox Communications. I cannot say enough wonderful things about Cox Communications, mm-hmm. because as a self-employed business person, they taught me a lot about customer service, about how you retain customers, how you get new customers, how you work with a customer, how you can negotiate and find this place that's really good for both parties. Even if I can't give you a full month's credit for your cable, at that time, they called it cable. You know, I can do this. How does this sound? And, you know, that is a beautiful gift to take with you, to be able to have that in any place of your life with anything that you're doing, where you're able to cooperate with someone, you're able to negotiate and find something that works equally well for both parties. So they were mm-hmm. really ahead of the curve on a lot of things. I was living in Oklahoma City. I got to travel. I moved to Atlanta. So, I mean, it was lovely. It was perfect. It was exactly where I was supposed to be at that time. It was
That's so good. I love it.
Yes. And
love it.
That's the big takeaway is that oftentimes we're like, why am I in this job? What am I doing? But Spirit has a plan. And so you're learning something. Maybe you're learning a new technique. Maybe you're learning how to face challenges. Maybe you're learning enough about yourself to know, okay, this is what I don't want to do. I may not know what I want to do, but I know this is what I don't want to do. You're right. And so you keep expanding. You keep, you know, learning. Who am I? What do I want to do? What sets me on fire? What makes me want to wake up in the morning? You know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Like, what if I'm getting the Sunday blues, I need to look at what I'm doing on Monday.
Right? Yeah.
And make some changes, right? And so I think that's what happens.
That's a good point. And that is exactly why I wanted you on here, to help some of the listeners make changes and shifts in their own energy, because I feel like anxiety is like all over everybody right now. And I know you've already gotten ready to tackle that, the topic of coping with anxiety.
Yeah, you know, and it's such an interesting subject matter to look at, because there's so many different ways that you can look at anxiety.
Yeah, there's different types of anxiety,
and
too.
There's different types mm-hmm. of anxiety, and what works for one person as far as a coping skill may not work for another person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also feel like we are moving into this time where we're almost about to accept anxiety as a way of life.
Exactly.
That stress and anxiety is just a way of life. If you're human, you're going to have stress. If you're human, you're going to have anxiety. And I feel like one of the greatest services that we could do for each other is to stop that wave, to stop that thought process. To say, no, I'm not going to buy into that channel. Now, that's not to say that it's not real and that it's not happening and that people do not experience it. What I'm talking about is that as a society, let's not accept it as I'm human, this is it. Mm-hmm. If you're human, you're stressed. If you're human, you have anxiety, right?
Right.
Because through different modalities and through transforming our thoughts, we can make changes and shield ourselves from that. It does take practice. It does take a mindset. But through techniques of learning to not try to stop the thoughts, but notice whenever the anxiety is coming up. Training yourself to take a breath. You could be having anxiety simply because you're holding your breath. Just because you're holding your breath.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very common response to stress. Right?
Right. And there's so many different internal and external factors, too. Like, there's so many.
Exactly.
And sometimes we can't control things, you know, and that's the other thing. I don't know.
And that is a very, very right.
Right.
And that's such an important part of it, because so much stress and anxiety comes from that track, that lane,
mm-hmm.
that mindset that we feel, or that maybe we've trained, or if we've been in real unsafe environments, we want to have everything. We want to be in control of everything. I realize this. I had a lot of stress in my life. I had a lot of anxiety in my life. I grew up with a mother that taught me anxiety was a way of life. I watched my mother with her anxiety, and my heart goes out to anyone with this kind of a situation happening in their life, whether it's there's so much stress and the stress causes them anxiety, mm-hmm. or whether they grew up in a home that was very stressful and very scary, so they learned, you know, anxiety was a way of life. It just became a way of life. It came a way of something that felt very natural to them, where they didn't even realize they were having anxiety. Some people don't even realize that that's what's going on. So if you don't even know that that's what's going on, how do you know what to do about it? Right?
Right.
And so there's so many different viewpoints on it. And that's why I say I would love it to see if our medical field and our healthcare practitioners, if we could switch this around and really start helping people to transform their thoughts, to look at what you are in control of in life, you know, your breath. Usually people will say, put your hand out in front of your face, you know, and move it away about 2 or 3 inches. That's how much you've got control of. Everything from your hand back to your face, right? Everything on the other side of your hand, forget about it, right?
Yeah.
Forget about it. You can't control the traffic. You can't control your boss's mood. You can't control all the changes that go on at work. You can't control the detours. Mm-hmm. You can't control what's going to come out of somebody's mouth. You know, you can't control the way somebody's going to look at you or not look at you. You can't control the response somebody's going to give you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's all this stuff out there that's just not within your control. And so oftentimes, as much as we try to put all these preventative measures in line, you know, that we've crossed all the T's, we've dotted all the I's, we've checked it front, we've checked it back, something still happens. You know, the computer still crashes.
Yeah.
And then we get stressed, and then we get anxiety. But if we can step back in that and just stop, look and listen, just for a few seconds and go, wait a minute. Can I control the computer crashing? No, I'm not in control of that. The computer just crashed. The electricity just went off. I can't control that. Right?
Right.
Now, this considering that you paid your electricity bill. That's a whole other thing, right? That's a whole other story.
Exactly.
Considering that, you know, we've done everything. We did all of our due diligence.
We've planned for the power.
We've planned for the power. Right. We put our presentation together. We ate before the presentation. We drank our water. We went to the bathroom. We did everything we were supposed to do that's within our control. We sit down at the keyboard. We touch the enter, and the power goes off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a choice. We have a choice right there in that split second. Do we go, oh, well, the power went off. That's not within my control. What do I do now? You know, what's the next best thing to do now? Or do we start completely, you know, go into the other side of that and just start running around and not even thinking? We just go into fight or flight. We're not even thinking, you know, we're maybe just cussing or hands throwing up or stomping around, or we threw something across the room or whatever. We forget that we were in control of that. We had an opportunity, whether or not mm-hmm. we wanted to pick up the pen and throw it across the room, or pick up the pen and write something positive down. The power went out. What options do I have? Right?
Yeah. Meditate.
Okay. Meditate. Or, okay, well, maybe I can do it for my phone.
Right? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, because almost you can just almost do anything from your phone, mm-hmm. or, you know, depending on your Wi-Fi setup. You know what I mean? There's all mm-hmm. these different things. But those are times where, when we start learning to transform our thoughts in just those split moments of like, okay, wait a minute, check in. Was that within my control? Was that not within my control? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. And then from that point, taking a breath, you'll figure out what to do. Maybe you put all your stuff and your laptop in a car and you go to a coffee shop. You know what I mean? There's you, you go someplace else, or you hop on the phone, you call a friend, you say, hey, I need to come over, my computer crashed, power's out, I got a presentation, can you help me out, you know? Or you just pack it up and let it go, like, until the power comes back on. I mean, there's just, it's just, and in most cases, the people on the other side are pretty understanding about a case like that. They've been there before, right?
Yeah, when you ask for help. That's the other thing is, like, the yoga off the mat, learning to ask for help, that thing.
Yeah, and learning to ask for help is such, you know, I don't know why that's so hard for it, but it is such a beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing to learn to ask for help. And in most cases, I have found people are like, really love to help you because it makes them feel good, right? Like,
right.
They feel good about helping you. And, you know, when we're dealing with anxiety and things like that, so oftentimes a lot of anxiety can come from our mind being in the future or our mind being in the past,
mm-hmm.
but not that our mind's in the present.
Exactly.
And oftentimes when we bring our mind to the present and focus on our breath, then it helps to relieve a lot of anxiety. And as we start to do that, it also starts to relieve a lot of stress. When we start trying to take moments through the day, you know, maybe a minute, every hour we decide we're just going to stop, sit in our chairs, close our eyes, focus on the breath, take a moment to unplug from everything that's temporary and realize, you know, I'm not this role that I'm playing. This is not mm-hmm. who I am. It's just one of the roles I play. It's one of the responsibilities I have.
I have incorporated a lot of that into my, because I've spent time with you, I've incorporated a lot of that into my practice for meditation. It is so helpful.
It's very helpful to take a moment and unplug, because what happens is, mm-hmm. and I feel like a lot of our stress and anxiety comes from us buying into the belief that this human experience is supposed to be permanent, when the body is a temporary instrument. It's an instrument that we're the trustee of for a certain amount of time. We don't know how long it is, 50 years, 100 years. I don't know, you know, how long I'm a trustee of this body, right?
Absolutely.
But the spirit within me is permanent. The spirit within me, the soul, the light, the tiny spark of light within me that is so immensely powerful and infinite is permanent. And automatically, when we start focusing on that, that's going to help and relieve a lot of our stress and anxiety, because now we are attaching ourselves to something that is permanent, that is everlasting, that does not change. It's always going to be what it is. It's always going to be soul or spirit or light. That is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, depending yes. on where, you know, your mindset is, you may think that that light goes directly to source, to God, to heaven, or you may think that the soul returns again and again and takes a different body and takes a different body. And if you believe that, then that's another sign that, okay, this human body is temporary. I'm a temporary trustee to take care of my mind, to take care of my body, and everything else other than spirit within me is temporary. It's all going to change. That's prakriti, right? It's nature. Yes. The seasons are going to change. Day is going to go to night. You know, houses on your street are going to come and go and change. People are going to move around. All outside is all going to change. And that's one thing that has really, really helped me, is the more I attach to that which is permanent, the light within me, and I realize that to be permanent, and then I allow that light within me, that soul, that spirit, whatever name you have for it, some may just call it peace, just the peace within me that's always there. When I look for it and strengthen it, it's always there. It's a template of our beingness. Then I can go, oh, yeah, I'm getting attached to all this temporary stuff, and it's causing me a lot of stress because it's not going the way I thought it would go. you know?
Yes.
The job changes,
oh
the
my
house
God,
changes,
yes.
the relationship
it's,
changes.
Nothing's permanent, right?
Right. My body changes, my mind changes, you know? The quality of my eyesight might change. Quality of my hearing might change. My knees are changing, right? My waistline changes. Oh, there's all this change, change, change. It's not permanent. It's very temporary. But when I understand that, I go, oh, yeah, that's just part of the game. That's just part of the drama. My job will change. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a meditation teacher. I'm a mindfulness coach. I'm a mom. I'm a caregiver, you know. I'm this, I'm that. That. Those are just roles. They change and change. But what does not change? Let me attach to that. Let me befriend that. Let me get to know that that's inside of me, that constant, the Purusha, the Atma, that's constant. And then that way, I've got an anchor. I'm tethered, right? I've got an anchor. I've got a view mm-hmm. that I can look out in the mm-hmm. world, from out to the world in this permanence, like, okay, I'm a soul, I'm a permanent being, light everlasting. This is, you know, I'm peace, I'm forever peace, however you want to look at it. And I'm just here in a drama, acting out all these different parts, playing all these different roles, and they're all temporary and they're all going to change. And I'm just going to roll with it and breathe my way through and ask for help when I need. And make the best choices that I can when it comes to eating healthy food, because our food's going to play into our anxiety if mm-hmm. we're eating a lot of processed foods, mm-hmm. sugary foods. You know, I've taken in a lot of caffeine, this kind of thing, you know, all in moderation. I'm not saying stop eating sugar, stop
yes.
having your morning coffee. I'm just saying moderation, and that we look at what are we eating? Is it sattvic? Is it tamastic? Is it rajas? What kind of foods are we eating? Start there. Am I getting plenty of sleep? Am I getting plenty of sleep? Start there.
Thank you so much for all of this time, Tina. I really appreciate your patience and making time out of your busy day for us talking about all these things. And I get to learn more about you from this episode, too. So do you want to take us through a breathing?
Sure, I'll take us through like a little guided yeah. type meditation for you would like.
Yes, and thank you so much.
And I want to thank all of the listeners, and thank you, Julie. I love spending time with you and getting to know you, and I feel like we've become very, very close over the last few months through the MVP office hours.
Yes.
And it's very kind of you to invite me to your podcast, and I also want to let anyone know if any of the words that I used or anything that I said did not resonate with you, please allow yourself to just let it go, to let it float by like a cloud in the sky. And if there were some things that resonated with you, perhaps taking some time to journal with it, to sit with it, to see how you feel with it, and be patient, give yourself time to assimilate new information and a new way of thinking, and approach it with a mindset of no pressure, just food for thought.
Yes.
With that, let's move into a gentle guided meditation, finding a comfortable seat, and then find your feet. If you're sitting in a chair, root down to the feet. If you're in a cross-leg position, just become aware of the soles of the feet. Become aware of the legs. The pelvis, lifting up long through the spine, lifting the chest, encouraging the arms to move back towards your chair or back towards the wall behind you, opening the chest a little more. Draw the chin towards the throat so the neck is long. Softly close the eyes. And as you softly close the eyes, relax behind the eyes. So it's as if the eyes sink into the sockets. Soften the skin on your face, the outer ears and the inner ears. Soften the lips and the mouth and down through the throat. Feel the breath as it moves in your nose, and then pause. And breathe out through the nose and pause. Begin to find a comfortable rhythm of breath that's long, light, Dean. Stay with this rhythm. It's long, light, and deep breathing. Incorporating a pause after the exhalation and after the inhalation to help us slow down. We're not here to stop the thoughts. We're here to transform our thoughts. Right now, we're focused on the breath as it moves in the nose and out of the nose. And then bringing the awareness up to the center of the forehead, the place of guidance, intuition, also known as the home of the third eye or the seat of the soul. As you're breathing in and out through the nose in this long, light, deep rhythm, drawing your awareness to the center of the forehead, take a moment to remember. Perhaps saying to yourself, I, the soul, am a peaceful being. Or perhaps you use the word spirit or light. Again, taking a moment, reflecting, bringing awareness to the forehead. I, the soul, am a peaceful being. This part of me is permanent. And I see the body, the roles that I play, everything outside of I, the soul's, a temporary experience. I can let go of control and just come into the moment. I can let go of all the roles that I play and come into the moment by remembering who I am and what I am. I, the soul, am a peaceful being, letting worry go, stress, becoming present, perhaps the anxiety falls away as well. I take this jewel with me, this remembrance, this point of light, this near the forehead, the third eye point, that is there to remind me that I am a permanent being. I, the soul, am a peaceful being. Taking a deep breath in through the nose. Taking a pause there. A long exhalation and pause. Noticing how you feel and feeling your feet once again grounded to the floor. Or maybe if you're in a cross-legged position, touching the soles of the feet. Remember who you are several times through the day so that you feel anchored and tethered to the spirit within. You can flutter the eyes open as you're ready. Continue to breathe long, light, and deep for as long and as much as possible throughout the day. and take little breaks throughout the day just to remember who and what you are. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Tina. Thank you so much. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.